from 4 cents on the dollar to a 2,134% return. Welcome to this audio issue of Porter's Daily Journal, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Issue number 77, volume number 3, When and Why: Violent Reversal, Spell Opportunity, and Distressed Debt Inside Today's Daily Journal. Essay: From 4 cents on the dollar to a 2,134% return. Money supply grows and grows and grows. NVIDIA outpaces silver selling chips to China. Chart of the day: Cerebras, CBRS. Today's mailbag editor's note: Porter has turned the journal over to Marty Fridson, lead analyst for Porter & Company's Distressed Investing. For 9 consecutive years, Marty was ranked number 1 in high yield strategy. He has written 7 books, the most recent of which is The Little Book of Picking Top Stocks. And Marty is such a legend that there is a recently published book about corporate finance that devotes an entire chapter to him. We excerpted last year in the Daily Journal. Here's Marty. Great news. For the first time ever, Porter & Company's analysts are united in their expectation of a violent reversal in stock prices that could wipe out decades of responsible savings and investments. After you recover from your double take, consider this fuller statement. That's great news for distressed debt buyers. The best opportunities to build wealth in these securities come about precisely when investors totally capitulate. According to conventional investing wisdom, bonds serve as a foundational component of an investment portfolio primarily to provide stability, income, and diversification. That doesn't describe the bonds that my distressed investing team has recommended during the past few years of positive growth in the economy and volatile but upward trending equity prices. They've behaved more like growth stocks, with some returning over 40% by the time we recommended selling them. During severe downturns, many of these bonds act like meme stocks, in a good way. Let's see what that means. The accompanying chart shows one-year total returns on some of the most deeply depressed corporate bonds as of March 9, 2009. That was the low point for such securities during the Great Recession. The S&P 500 bottomed out 3 days earlier. The group's top performer, Michaels Stores, 13% maturing November 1, 2016, was priced at $40 on a $1,000 face value. That's 4 cents on the dollar. In the standard bond market notation used in the table, that appears as 4, with par value denoted as 100. Over the next 12 months, the price shot up all the way to $830, or 83 in bond market lingo. Taking into account the income received during the period, based on an incredible beginning current yield of 13 divided by 4 equals 325%, as well as reinvestment income, the Michaels Stores bond delivered an almost unfathomable 2,134% total return. Three other bonds in the group returned more than 1,000% as the debt market recovered. The returns of all 10 bonds exceeded 400%, and this wasn't the result of a turnaround by one particular sector of the economy. These huge winners were spread across a wide range of industries. How can bond prices ever descend to levels low enough so that they can rise high enough to produce such stratospheric returns? After all, bonds rank ahead of stocks in distribution of remaining company asset value in the event of a bankruptcy. That's supposed to protect holders on the downside. A clue to this conundrum lies in the fact that the prices of some of the bonds shown above rose 5-fold to 20-fold despite being downgraded by the credit rating agencies. The capital gains didn't arise primarily from fundamental improvements in the company's balance sheets or operations. Neither did these issues rally for the reason that bonds as a group ordinarily rise on a given day, namely a drop in interest rates. After all, when yields go down, bond prices go up. The Wall Street Journal regularly reminds its readers. The benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury rate increased from 2.89% on March 9, 2009, to 3.70% on March 10, 2010. No, the astronomical price rises you see in the chart resulted from a subsiding of the all-out panic that characterized the credit market at its low point during the Great Recession. In early 2009, capital had fled the corporate debt market on a massive scale. Under normal conditions, fund managers would have jumped in if they saw a bond dropping even a couple of points below a reasonable estimate of its fundamental value. But now they weren't looking for that kind of opportunity to grind out an edge of a few basis points over their benchmarks. They were solely concerned with damage control, hoping to avoid a crushing blow to their performance so severe that their future marketing efforts would never be able to overcome it. With no other bidders on the scene, distressed debt buyers saw a feast prepared before them. This was the sort of environment they dream about through all the lean years in between recessions and financial crises. Let me hasten to add that even though the debt market was far less discriminating than usual in 2008 to 2009, it was certainly not the case that you could have bought any distressed bond at random and made out like a bandit. Many of the extremely low-priced bonds of that period defaulted, even though none of the ones in the chart did. But here's the good news. You didn't need to achieve a 100% success ratio or buy bonds that were trading at blood-chilling levels like 4 cents on the dollar to make out extraordinarily well from March 9, 2009 to March 9, 2010. Over that interval, the ICE Bank of America U.S. High Yield Distressed Index, consisting of bonds with yields 10 percentage points or more above comparable U.S. Treasury yields, delivered a total return of 147%. That was twice as high as the S&P 500's 72% total return. This was a rare instance where just being average entitled you to pat yourself on the back for having had the foresight and conviction to deploy capital in a decidedly out-of-favor sector of the financial market. Here's more good news. We sometimes recommend a combination of a distressed bond and the same company's stock. We call it topping off. The bond market tends to be ahead of the stock market in recognizing that the worst has passed for a company, so the stock can often extend the gain after the bond has gotten back in line with its intrinsic value. Several of the issuers displayed in the chart are privately owned companies, so our topping off strategy wouldn't have been applicable in those cases. But Rite Aid stock delivered a 625.81% return during the measurement period covered in the chart and, in the 20 days after its end, rose another 44.74%. To profit from the comparable opportunities that will likely arise when investors head for the hills in the blowout we expect, stay tuned to Distressed Investing. The way to prepare for that devastating event is to keep some dry powder in your portfolio and be ready to seize the day. Tell us what you think of today's journal. PorterStansburyDirect@gmail.com. Good investing. Martin Fritzen, New York. New York. Three things to know before we go. 1. Global money supply hits a record $121.9 trillion. The debasement continues. Global M2 money supply is up $17.1 trillion, 16%, over the past 2 years. US M2 alone climbed $1 trillion over the last year to a record $22.7 trillion, with February's near $200 billion jump tripling the H2 2025 average. And today the S&P 500 crossed 7,500 for the first time. The only rational response is to own scarce assets and anything that can't be inflated away. 2. Nvidia surpasses silver in value. Nvidia, NVDA, is now the second largest asset in the world, surpassing silver's $5.07 trillion valuation, and well below gold's $32 trillion, reaching a staggering $5.52 trillion market cap. With this surge driven largely by a massive shift in capital toward AI infrastructure, Alphabet, GOOG, sits less than 4% away from also surpassing silver and becoming the second company in history to hit the $5 trillion mark. 3. Jensen Huang joins Trump in Beijing in a bid to unlock chip sales. The Nvidia CEO was a late addition to President Trump's China delegation, in hopes of striking a deal to sell the company's earlier generation H200 AI chips in the country. The U.S. cleared roughly 10 Chinese buyers, including Alibaba, Tencent, ByteDance, and JD.com, to purchase the chips months ago, but Beijing has stalled sales over tampering concerns, and no chips have shipped to date. China is estimated to be a $50 billion annual market for Nvidia. Chart of the day. Cerebras Systems' next-generation chipmaker Cerebras Systems, CBRS, became the largest pure-play artificial intelligence initial public offering, IPO, in history today, trading as high as $385 per share, valuing the company well over $100 billion, more than 100% above its already higher-than-expected IPO price of $185. Mailbag concerns about financial market bubble. Alexander L. writes, "Hi, I am a subscriber to Porter Stansberry's Complete Investor and read his articles whenever they come through via email. I have also invested based on Porter's recommendations. I was alarmed by Wednesday's journal and wanted to ask a few questions. Currently, my portfolio is spread amongst high-performing semiconductor stocks, stocks related to the space industry, gold royalty stocks, silver/copper mining stocks, and energy stocks. I am concerned about the effect the bursting bubble will have on my investments, and seek some guidance regarding which ones I should potentially sell in the coming days. Would it be prudent to take profits made from semiconductor stocks now and sell? If the Mag 7, in whom I have not invested, are reliant on credit, will the picks and shovels companies supplying materials/chips for AI also go down with them? Next, is it worth retaining my gold royalty stocks, or are they also due to fall as the bubble bursts? I keep reading articles about the gold bull run ramping up, rather than coming to an end. Next, is it worth retaining my energy stocks, or are they also due to fall as the bubble bursts? Next, is it worth retaining my silver and copper stocks, or are they also due to fall as the bubble bursts? Finally, An article by Porter a couple of days ago promoted the value of not packing and retaining slash holding shares long term instead of panic selling. This seems starkly at odds with Wednesday's article predicting an impending bubble. How might I reconcile these two Porter perspectives in order to maintain my portfolio? Porter comment, you know, we're going to get 1,000 varieties of this email, with everyone asking about this or that stock, this or that strategy, etc. What should I do now? I completely understand. But I wish you would all understand, we've told you every single thing we'd want to know, from you, if our roles were reversed. I have done that faithfully, right and wrong, for 30 years. I tell it as straight as I can, and in the exact same way I would want you to tell it to me. I do not change, as you'd know if you've been reading me for 30 years. Here are the resources we've built to help you. Number 1. We've given you the most well-proven, resilient portfolio structure that has ever been built, Porter's Permanent Portfolio. We've told you, down to every single position, what we would own, at what percentage, to make sure that your assets are safe. This is a non-correlated, to the stock market, strategy that's designed to provide equity-like returns with much less risk. It is what we recommend, first and foremost, to retired investors. Number 2. To folks with more risk tolerance, we have the Better Than Buffett Index. It's working and we're publishing a complete update this week. And we have other specialty products to guide you to outstanding individual investments, like Marty's Distressed Investing. It's working gangbusters, almost 30% a year in mostly bonds. We have Erez Kalir's buy list in tech and biotech. Tech Frontiers is returning around 40% a year. We have our best buys, which have been delivering 30% annual gains in ultra-high quality stocks. I sincerely don't know of a better research group, anywhere, that does as good of a job as we do researching high-quality investments. And please, if you think that's wrong, tell me who does better work than us. I want to read them. Number 3. We have said, again and again and again, that no one, and certainly not us, can predict the future. I've got two balls. Neither of them are crystal. We have no idea how far this bubble might run. Japanese stocks got to 90x earnings. That could happen here too. But I am fairly certain this bubble will not come to a good end. And I am fairly certain the top is in, or close. I think it's prudent to be aware of the risks, and as I've said, be ready to sell. I've told you, and everyone else, that I will alter our permanent portfolio allocation, stocks, bonds, gold, cash, when, or if, the 10-year yield goes over 5%. But, I'm open to suggestions. Tell me what more we could, should do for our subscribers. We love all of you, and we are doing our best. Market bottoms are easy and riskless. Market tops are impossible. If you're wrong, either way, you'll lose a lot of money. My strong advice, err on the side of liquidity. Velocity not valuation defines a bubble. Nathan S. writes, I own 6,200 shares of Soxel, which has seen a nearly 13,000% gain since I purchased it. I have been a nervous wreck this week, thinking I should sell it all and run. After reading your recent daily journal, I think I have no time to waste. I also own a sizable amount of real gold and silver coins, which, as you know, have seen fabulous gains over the years. Not stocks. I have the bullion, well hidden. No capital gains. I also took your advice and purchased undeveloped real estate, as you were doing in Florida a few years ago. I'm not feeling well physically, so I almost didn't read your email today. I am a retired physician, but I have made my fortune in investments and retired early. Never have I used a professional financial advisor. A financial advisor would have recommended me to sell Soxel years ago. Porter comment. It was a brilliant strategy. Two things have been certain since about 1980. The world is going digital. Everything, sooner or later, is going to end up on a chip. The world's governments are going to print. The two best investments, chips and gold. Bravo. And, I'm fairly certain, it will continue to work, over time. But, and I do not know when, there is virtually certain to be a major financial correction, for the reasons that I've outlined. I hope you'll read my book. I think it would really help. 2029, the end of America. But, sincerely, congratulations on your investment wisdom. Brilliant. The bubble is forming atop. Matt V. writes, terrific memo, Porter. A sobering historical reminder about how this must end sooner or later and how it is never different this time. I'm keeping stops tight, building up dry powder, stockpiling ammo, canned meat, and alcohol. I'm a horse meeting water. One question though, if P&C companies hold bonds, they have claims on productive assets, right? So if there is an epic crash, won't the bondholders get to foreclose and take those assets at pennies on the dollar? Yeah, it will be a short-term blip, but in the long run the seized assets should do well. Kind of like the railroads being sold off for pennies on the dollar, although perhaps the bondholders were the ones taking the hit then? Porter comment. Matt, I think you're way off base, unfortunately. Property and casualty, P&C, firms don't ordinarily buy distressed debt like you're imagining. In fact, they are usually the forced sellers that people like Marty make a killing on. I hope you'll read the book, 2029, The End of America. I've updated a strategy I learned from Steve Sugarud 20 years ago. It's an asset that always grows, consistently at the same rate, forever. It's much safer than a bond. It is completely immune to war, central banks, and technology. And it is, unquestionably, the most resilient store of wealth that has ever existed. I can show you how to earn 20% a year with it. It also happens to be in a perfect buying window right now. Here's the Amazon link. Porter & Company market snapshot price yesterday's return year-to-date return S&P 500 index, $7,444.25, 0.58%, 9.2% gold per ounce, $4,688.76 minus 0.56%, 8.9% Bitcoin, $79,676 minus 1.24% minus 9.4% oil. West Texas Intermediate, per barrel $101.02 minus 1.12%, 73.2% Berkshire Hathaway, BRK, $727,500.05 minus 0.14% minus 3.6% Porter's permanent portfolio, minus 0.41% minus 0.07%, the better than Berkshire index, minus 0.45% minus 0.3% total return annual return Porter & Company's top ranked. Dash yield yesterday's change year-to-date U.S. Treasury 30-year yield 5.03% 1 basis point 19 basis points. Prices as of 4 p.m. ET May 13, 26 BPS, equals basis points, or 0.01%. A complete investor risk rating of 1 is defined as a low-risk, high-allocation security, while positions rated closer to a 5 are higher risk. Porter & Company's top-ranked positions include those rated either 1 or 2 in complete investor portfolio. Porter & Company top positions publication, ticker description, total return complete. Investor BWXT. BWX Technologies 262%, Tech Frontiers Cure Uni, Cure 237%, Complete Investor BTC/USD Bitcoin, 193% Tech Frontiers, SGMT Sagimet Biosciences 141%, Complete Investor Prime Minister Philip Morris 132%, Tech Frontiers Cure Uni, Cure 131% Tech Frontiers Roiv Roivin, Sciences 130% Tech, Frontiers, TGTX, TG Therapeutics, 122% Distressed Investing HLF Herbalife, 102% Distressed Investing Penton Peloton, Interactive 98% Prices as of 4 p.m. ET May 13, 2026. Please note, the investments in our Porter & Company top positions should not be considered current recommendations. These positions are the best performers across our publications, and the securities listed may, or may not, be above the current buy-up to price. To learn more, visit the current recommendations page of the relevant service, here. To gain access or to learn more about our current recommendations, call our customer care team at 888-610-8895 or internationally at +1-443-815-4447. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue.